God is so good to us.
Amen.
It makes you want to smile.
Right.
I read a story last week about two prospectors who were out searching for gold, and they made an amazing discovery, a great rich vein of gold, and they said to each other, these two prospectors, "We better not tell anybody, but we need to go get some supplies. We need to get some more tools and so forth. So we go into town, but don't tell anybody because we don't want anyone to know what we found." So they went into town and bought their bits and pieces, and they started back towards where they discovered the gold. And as they got up the road and looked back, they discovered there was a whole bunch of people following them. They hadn't told anyone, but their faces told a story. Hey, you've discovered gold.
Thanks.
You need to let that face tell the story. Let other people know that, hey, this is worth getting in on. Today I want to talk to you about this, that your faith is the power of God operating in your life. Your faith is the power of God operating in your life. You know, for whatever reason, and I have to be honest, I don't fully understand this. For whatever reason, in many churches, faith has become a five-letter word. You can talk about anything in some churches except faith. Oh, you're one of those faith people? You're one of those people who name it and claim it? I say, yeah, we are. We're faith people. We love this word because without faith we can't please God. See, faith is a tool that you have to utilize. God has given you this faith in order to use it. And if you don't use it, nothing's going to happen as a result of your faith. You'll still be in the same place tomorrow that you were today. Because without faith, you'll never experience the successes that God has already lined up for you. He's got a plan and a purpose, and He wants you to come into all of that. So it's critical to your life that you use the faith that God has given you. That's why He's given it to us. And He said, without it, you can't please Me. We have to be God pleasers, not people pleasers. And so we need to come to that place. So it's critical we have faith. And what does faith mean? Faith means that you have a full reliance on, you have a full assurance of, you can really believe and are totally convinced that what you say by faith is going to happen. It is in fact going to happen because God has promised in His Word. It's, can I put it this way, it's believing in the unseen. It tells us faith is the substance of things not seen. So it's believing in the unseen. It's believing in the unmanifested. The things that you can't see or taste or touch right now, but they're still there. They're in the spirit realm, and it's your faith that drags them back into today. Let's just read a verse quickly in Hebrews 11, you know it, and then we'll go on and talk about this. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. When you have faith, you're not wondering what's going to happen. You already know in your spirit, you already know what the future holds. And because you have this faith that is the faith of God, you're going to be in that place where you know that because it's promised in the Word of God, it is a sure fact. It's already established in the Word, so you're never going to have to be concerned about it. I like what that beloved apostle of faith, you know who I'm talking about, Smith Wigglesworth, he made this great statement. He said, "I can't understand God by feelings. I can't understand the Lord Jesus Christ by my feelings. I can only understand God the Father and Jesus Christ by what the Word says about them. God is everything the Word says He is. We need to get acquainted with Him through His Word." That's why we teach this message here. We want you to get acquainted with God through His Word. Now, I've given a little bit of a background of what faith is, some sort of a description about it. But as I said, I want to talk about the fact that your faith is God's power in your life. In other words, God's power is available to you and you access it and use it by your faith. So we're going to talk about some of those things this morning. See, sometimes we see people getting blessed. Now, finances is probably the easiest one to think about because, somebody makes a lot of money or gets given a lot of money. What happens to their face? They begin to smile. People begin to know. It happens. So that's probably the easiest thing. So we see somebody getting blessed and then we wonder, how come God blessed them, but he didn't seem to bless me? Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, you know the verses. They're ones we use regularly. But Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Now remember, this is Paul talking to the church. He's talking to the church at Rome, and by inference, he's also talking to Family Faith Center here in Melbourne. Yeah. Verse 3, he says, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, or every person that is among you," that's you he's talking to this morning, "not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man," that is every man among you, or every person in the church, he's dealt the measure of faith. So we all have been given the measure or a measure of faith. We have this measure. And I just throw it in here for you. The measure is the same measure that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. That's the measure. So you've been given that measure. Sure, you have the ability in God by faith to raise the dead. If you were here on Tuesday night, and if you weren't, shame on you, but if you were here Tuesday night, you would have heard Greg Moore make a statement, and he made this statement, and it made me think, and I thought, boy, that's really good. He says, every person who's born again has the belief that God can raise the dead. You get born again by believing that God raised Jesus from the dead. So you've already got dead-raising faith when you get born again. I thought, yeah, that's true, but we don't think about it that way. So we have to come to that place. We realize that God has given every one of us the measure of faith. That's every one of us who have been born again. Now, go back, same chapter, Romans book, Romans chapter 1. Find verse 16, Romans 1:16. Paul again speaking, he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So the word or the gospel is the power of God. Now how do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word about Christ. So the more of it you hear, the more your faith will grow. Now, let's look at just one more as a foundation. Ephesians chapter 3 and find verse 20. It says, "Now unto him," that is God, "that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think," here it is, "according to the power that works in us," according to the power of your faith. So we have this measure of faith. God has given us this faith. Now we have to realize that it is his power that he's invested in us. He expects us to use it, expects us to be able to manifest it, to extend the kingdom and so on. But I want to give you some thoughts about the power of faith. And we're going to look at a number of things. First thing is this. If you're taking notes, I recommend you do that this morning. Number one, faith requires action. Faith requires action. Martin Luther King Jr. made this statement. He said, "Faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the whole staircase." Faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the whole staircase. Hebrews 11:6 says, faith is what? Takes faith to please God, but there has to be a corresponding action with your faith. There's got to be an action with your faith. Faith is what pleases God. So a strong faith, a strong belief in what God says is what pleases Him. Faith without a corresponding action is not faith at all. So if you don't have an action to your faith, then it's not faith that works. Now, I look around and I see I've got to be careful how I say this, but a lot of you ladies have been pregnant and had children. When you were pregnant, you acted differently to someone who wasn't pregnant. When someone is expecting a child, they act totally differently to the person who's not expecting a child. You know, most ladies, they want to go and say, well, you know, we're going to have a child, we're going to have a baby, and they're excited about it, and they want to tell everybody about it. Expectancy does something to them. Expectancy is a key to your faith. Yeah. You have to become like that person who gets pregnant. You need to get, if you're believing God for healing, get pregnant with the healing. I always remember Yong Yi Cho telling his story about how he had to get pregnant with a bicycle. When he didn't have transport, he had to get pregnant with a bicycle, and eventually he gave birth to a bicycle, in the spiritual sense, of course. See, so whatever you're believing God for, whatever you're trusting God for, get pregnant with it. In other words, become like a pregnant woman, that you know that there is going to be a time when that thing is going to manifest. It's going to come to birth. You're going to have it. You're going to enjoy it. It's going to be part of your lifestyle. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, Paul says this, above all, Ephesians 6:16, above all, do you understand those words, above all? That means above everything else. Take the shield of faith wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. When a Roman soldier was going out to battle, he had to take his shield, because the shield, which was as tall as he was what protected him from the arrows, because the enemy would dip their arrows into tar or some flammable substance, and they'd fire flaming arrows at the soldiers. So what he had to do, he had to get his shield, which was made of iron, and it was wrapped with cloth, and then he had to soak that cloth with water, and it protected him from head to toe. So he's got to carry an iron shield that's wrapped in cloth, and it's soaked with water, so it's getting heavy. But the point is, it says it will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Yeah. Are you sort of getting the picture of what I'm trying to tell you here? Yeah. He was properly prepared for the battle. He had to take an action. His action was, I've got to get my shield ready. He was armored up, he was ready for the battle, and he was protected in the battle. So, number one, you have to take action. Number two, faith makes the impossible possible. How many times have you thought or said or had someone say it to you, that's impossible? I don't mind someone telling me it's impossible, because that's the time when I say, okay, you think it's impossible, God says it's possible. Yeah. I was reading about a man called Sir William Osler. I'd never heard of him until I read this quote. He was the first baronet, and he was a Canadian physician. And he said, without faith, a man can do nothing. But with faith, a man can do everything. Without faith, a man can do nothing. But with faith, a man can do everything. Now, he wasn't the first person to say that, obviously, but he was quoted as saying it. So the faith that I'm talking about today will actually cause your desires to be manifested. The things that you desire, the things you're believing God for, your faith will bring them to that place. Your faith will attract the components or the elements, the things that you need to your life. Like attracts like. If you want to be a person who's blessed financially, then begin to manifest in your life financial blessing. Be generous in your giving, and you'll find that as you sow seeds, the seeds cause a harvest to come back to you again. So like attracts like. How many of you, don't answer this, just think. How many of you can think about someone that you really don't want to go and spend time with? Why not? Because they're different to me. Like attracts like. There are people that Elizabeth and I like to spend time with. We like to go and have coffee with. We like to talk to. But then there are other people who are opposed or anti what we believe about this. And we say, oh, well, we're not really so interested in spending time with them. Because they don't believe this book. So like attracts like. Faith makes everything possible. Jesus said, Mark 9 and 23, if you're able to believe, everything is possible to the one who believes. St. Augustine said, faith is to believe what you do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what you believe. Yes. Can I say that again? Yes. St. Augustine, listen to it again. He says, faith is to believe what you do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what you believe. Listen to me. Faith always works. If it didn't work, it wasn't faith. It was hope, or maybe a wish, but faith will always produce what God says it will produce. Amen. That was number two. Number three, I'm giving you a few of these this morning. Number three, you can grow your faith. Faith is something that grows. A lady called Mary Morrissey, who is a life coach, she made this statement. You block your dream when you allow your fear to grow bigger than your faith. Listen to it again. You block your dream when you allow your fear to grow bigger than your faith. The Apostle Paul said, we quoted it already this morning, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Now, can I say this is Norm Campbell's quote? Fear comes by hearing the words of the devil. Yes. See, faith and fear both grow, but it depends what you're feeding it, what you're feeding it on. So you have to guard and be careful what you hear. Listen very carefully to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, and don't let negative thoughts come in. Don't let negative statements come in. Don't let all those things come in that would steal your faith. Your faith has to grow. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as it is right, because your faith is growing exceedingly. Your faith is growing exceedingly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. You heard Naomi say that this morning. See, your faith can grow exceedingly. Paul says your faith can grow, and since your faith can grow, it can either grow strong or grow weaker. It can be developed or undeveloped, but it's your responsibility where it's going to be. Yeah. You've got to choose, I'm going to grow in this faith. I'm going to let my faith grow and be all that God says I am. It takes time to do that. You do that by spending time in the Word. That brings us to number four. Here it is. Have faith in your own faith. Have faith in your faith. How many of you know who Robert Schuller is? Dr. Robert Schuller. Yeah. Minister who started a church in California. He had been in a denominational scene, and God spoke to him and gave him a message about being positive, and I don't necessarily like everything he said. He's now gone on to be with the Lord. But one of the things he said was, I would rather err on the side of faith than err on the side of doubt. I would rather err on the side of faith than err on the side of doubt. He started his church in a drive-in theater. He set up the pulpit on the roof of the little drive-in building there, and all the people sat out in their cars and plugged the hearing thing from the drive-in theater into the side of their car window and were able to listen to the sermons. And he was very successful, went on to build a great cathedral and so forth. Interesting concept, but only God could think of it. So he said, I would rather err on the side of faith than err on the side of doubt. See, you're operating in faith all the time, whether you actually believe it or know it or not. How many of you have a remote control for your car like this? One of these little fellows. Now, I guarantee you, when you go out to your car, if you have one of these, you don't stand and look at it and say, I wonder if that's going to work today or not. You just point it at your car and press the button and it goes dink. Unless your battery's gone down. The point I'm making is you don't stop to consider, does this thing really work? Maybe some of you still have cars where you have to put the key in and turn. You don't have a remote control. It's interesting when you have trouble with the remote control. We had trouble with ours a couple of months ago. Didn't seem to want to work. We're pressing and pressing and pressing. I had faith it would work, but it didn't work. No matter how much I said work in Jesus' name, it didn't want to work. So I went to the man in the key place around there at Westfield, and he took a little battery out and put it in again and said, it's perfect, everything's working. So it was actually working, but it wasn't working. So when we came back again, we tried another time, and it did work. The battery must have moved or something happened, I don't know. But, we had faith that it would work, but it didn't. So you have to be able to believe that you are going to err on the side of faith rather than on the side of doubt. Don't ever think this isn't going to work. It's going to work every time when you put it to work. You have to believe that what you expect to happen is going to happen. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time and you're wasting God's time. See, you get prepared and you start making preparation for things that are going to change. Yeah. I talked about someone getting pregnant before. When a woman gets pregnant, things change. Number one, her body changes. Like Miles Monroe says, a woman is an incubator. You give her a seed and she'll give you back a child. She's an incubator. That's what God made her for. So her body changes in the process of giving birth to a baby. The baby grows inside of her and eventually the child comes out. And her body goes back most times to near enough what it was before. Not always. I know, ladies, you have trouble with that. But Elizabeth has three children and I don't see her any different today than when I first married her. You know, we've been married, this is what, 52 52 years next month. Wow. Praise the Lord. It's been good.
I use my faith.
I use my faith, she said.
You got saved.
And I got saved, yeah. That's right. She'll tell you her testimony if you haven't heard it. We'll get her up to share it all with you one of these days. So we use this faith. It makes things possible. It can grow. And we have faith in our faith, we have faith in our ability to do. And so things are changing. When you start to use your faith, you have to make preparations for changes. No point having your faith and saying, well, I'm just faking it. You know, I read a book called Fake It Till You Make It. I didn't really like it. You have to really believe the word of God. Say, God, thank you, I'm taking your word on it because you're not a man to tell a lie. So that was number four. Number five. Fear and faith are really the same force. We talked about fear a little minute or two ago. Fear comes, I said, by hearing the words of the devil, by spending time listening to what the world is saying rather than what God is saying. So fear and faith are the same force. They're just going in opposite directions. I wonder if you remember in the book of Beginnings, Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3 is the story about the devil coming as a serpent. He took on the body of a serpent, you know the whole story. Spoke to Eve, verse 7, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Verse 9, the Lord God called on to Adam and said, "Where are you?" Now, God knew where he was, but he wanted Adam to know where he was. Verse 10, and this is what he said, "And I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid." The first words of fallen man were, "I was afraid." The first thing the man who fell into sin was, "I was afraid." Sin brings fear. Fear and faith are the same force. Adam was filled with God's faith. Then he fell from his place of ruling and reigning. He was no longer subject to God. He now became subject to the devil. His faith turned over and became fear, and he immediately began speaking fear out of his lips rather than speaking faith. See, God had said, "Adam, I want you to name the animals. That one with a long neck, what are you going to call it?" And Adam said, "I'll call it a giraffe." And you let your mind take some of this in, because he had to have the faith of God to know what a duck-billed platypus was. So he must have been in Australia at some stage. So don't let your faith be used for the impossibles. Use your faith for the possibles. The things that are possible in God, use your faith. See, if you don't use your faith, you're not going to benefit from it. It's a waste of time. Wasting your time and God's time. I like what Corrie ten Boom said. She said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Good quote. It says, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." So fear and faith are the same force. They're just working in different directions. So stay with the faith of God. Don't go with the fear that comes by listening to the words of the devil. Number 6, last one. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. Over the years that we've been doing this, you know, I've come across a lot of people, and they try to get acquainted, I guess, with God through their feelings. People come for prayer and they say, "Well, I'd like you to pray, you know, I've got this problem, this difficulty, whatever it is." And we pray and I say, "Well, you're healed." And they say, "Well, I don't feel healed." You see, it's nothing to do with what you feel like. Their faith is based on feelings when it should be based on the Word of God. Don't do that. Don't say what you feel, say what you believe. See, your body will tell you things that are not true according to the Word of God. It may be true according to what's happening around about you. In fact, this morning someone has been listening to the devil who's been telling you you're going deaf. You've been listening to words and you've been having feelings in your ear that indicate deafness. Don't listen to that. Don't accept that. That is a lie. Because the Word of God says in Isaiah 50 verse 4, "I will open your ear morning by morning to hear with the ear of the learned." Whoever that is, take that verse. Receive it. Believe it. So it's not to do with your feelings. Because I said this to you last week, you don't start out in victory from a position of defeat. You start out from a position of victory. Yeah. You start out in the victory and you go to the victory. You're not behind the eight ball. You're in front of it. You're already a winner. You're already more than a conqueror. You're already able to do all things in Christ. See, all of these things are true. So you're never going to win from a defeated position. You have to say, "I'm a winner. I'm more than a conqueror. I have God's ability in me. I'm able to do the things that God is calling me to do. My faith is God's power operating in my life. I believe it. I receive it." Now let me try and wind this up, because it's not a long message this morning, but I want you to see this. And this is a key to your success in this area of faith. What am I holding in my hand? Okay, a Bible. It's God's Word. This is the foundation for everything. This is the foundation for everything. My faith comes by meditating, spending time, listening to, chewing over. Naomi said a couple of weeks ago, you make the promises effective by chewing them over, I think is how she put it. Chew over the promises and they'll become effective in your life. So this is the foundation. What I believe about this foundation is my faith. If you're building a house, it's got to go in first. So the foundation goes in first. My faith is now resting on this foundation. So my faith is resting on the foundation of the Word of God. Then my feelings don't happen to be resting on the foundation. The feelings come later. So first of all, the foundation, then the faith, and lastly, the feelings, because feelings change. Today you feel happy, tomorrow you feel sad. Today you think you're beautiful, tomorrow you think you're not so beautiful. Things change. So we take God's Word. This is the base. I can enjoy the result of my feelings once I've got the foundation and the faith right. Yes. Yes. So get the foundation in and get the faith on top of it, and then the feelings will come. And you'll enjoy the feelings. And it's good to feel good. It's good to feel better. If you're a person who's been sick for any length of time, it's always nice to feel better. Yes. I was listening to a CD this morning in the car. And it's not a Christian CD in the sense of teaching, but it was a Christian man that we know of. And he was telling a story about wintertime in America. And the people had been exposed to some flu and so forth. And both the husband and wife got ill. And the way he was telling the story was that, well, if one is sick and the other's looking after them, that's fine. Or if the second one is sick and the first one's looking after them, that's fine. But when two are sick and they're both in the bed together looking at each other, it's a disaster. And there's nobody looking after the kids. And what he was saying was just simply this, that between running to the bathroom and, you know, getting the bucket and all the rest of it, it's not a happy state of affairs. But it's what happens in winter time. And he's describing these things as they happened in America in the wintertime in a place called Minnesota. I don't know if you know where Minnesota is. So is it possible this morning that your faith could be the power of God for divine health in your life? Yes. Is it possible this morning that your faith could be God's power in your life to produce the finances that you need to take care of whatever it may be? I believe it is. Do you believe this morning, is it possible that there is a job there for you? And I've shared this with so many people over the years. You know, people come and say, oh, well, I need a job. Would you pray for me about a job? And I say, well, this is how to pray about a job. Very simple. It's not difficult. You say, Father, there is a job that you have for me, because he says, I have a plan. So God has a plan. I have a plan for a job for you. But more than likely, there's somebody already in the job. So the Bible says that we should bless and curse not. So we say, Father, whoever's in the job that you have for me, I want you to bless them. I want you to promote them. I want you to give them more money. I want you to move them to some better thing for them so I can move into the job you have for me. Now that's called blessing and not cursing. So when you pray that kind of prayer, guess what? That blesses somebody and it opens the door for you to get the job that God has for you. Some of you are looking at me like, I never heard that before. I've lost count of the number of people I've shared that with. And they've walked into positions that would have been impossible for them to get. Simply by praying and asking God to bless whoever's already in the position. I've prayed with people and God has been able to create new positions in companies for them. There's never been a particular position before and it's been created just for them. So think about it. Is it possible that your faith this morning could reach out and make your marriage relationship what it ought to be. Well, everybody's gone quiet now. Could your faith reach out into that realm of the Spirit and pull back into today what you'd like your marriage to be? Ask Elizabeth about it. Man, 52 years now. She's prayed for me every day in the 52 years and before. I've prayed for her. But see, it's a relationship that works, because the Bible says when a husband and wife can agree together in prayer and love each other, then their prayers are not hindered. And you start getting answers to prayer. You start getting things happening. Do you know what I'm saying? There is a possibility that this can happen. But it's according to the foundation and the faith that you put on the foundation. Now, you may be at a place where you say, well, I don't want that to happen. That's okay. But if that's what you desire, we can believe for that. I want to pray this morning for any needs that might be here. Doesn't matter what the need is. God is greater than the need. Amen. He's bigger than the need. God has more than you need. So if you need prayer this morning, I'm not going to ask you to come out. I'm just going to ask you to, where you're presently sitting, if you'd like prayer this morning, stand by your seat. And I'm going to pray and ask God to release the power of His Word into your faith so you can believe, have your faith based on the foundation so you can have what it is that you desire. Because He said in Psalm 37 and verse 4, He would give us the desires of our heart. So Father, this morning, you see these people who are standing. Right now, you know the desires of their heart because you've actually given them the desires. And Father, because you've given them the desires, you're going to fulfill those desires. Now, my prayer this morning is, Lord, that your power, which is in your word, Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power, that your power, which is in your word, which is the foundation of our faith, they would connect up, and that power would now start to reach out and pull back into today the desires that you've given them. Father, today I call every desire met in Jesus' name. Father, I call every desire fulfilled in Jesus' name. For those who are believing for a job, we believe for a job to open up. We say, bless the person in the job, promote them, give them more money, move them somewhere else, and make the way available for those who need to move into those positions. Father, for those who want a touch of your faith and power in their marriage, we pray that that happen today also according to your word. Father, we pray for those who need a release in finances. Lord, we pray for a release in the financial realm, far and above and beyond, because you said in Ephesians 3:20, you would do super abundantly, far above all we can ask, think, or even dream about. So, Father, we're big dreamers, we're big talkers, and so we believe for your anointing on our finances in Jesus' name. And for every other area, Lord, for people who've been sick, we pray for health in their bodies and a release of health. We pray and agree with Russell as he prayed this morning for Tracy's dad. Father, we believe for him to be saved. We believe for him to be well and healed and whole and strong. And others too, Father, in Jesus' name. And we'll give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Now sit down like you believe it. Hallelujah. Time flies. I don't know where the time goes to. That's taken 42 and a half minutes. Ian, do you want to come and receive our tithe and offering today?
Praise the Lord. That was good preaching, amen? Good teaching, I tell you. Did you get the gems in there? The revelation that was in that word today? Let me give you one. You're always believing. Now, the revelation of that is that you're always believing.
That's it.
The question is, what are you feeding your belief?
Yeah. Yes.
God gave us all the gift of belief. We're able to believe the word, but what are we feeding? I'll give you an example. Kim and I used to like to watch a lot of the police shows.
Yeah.
Criminal Minds. all that dramatic, exciting stuff happening. Look what somebody's doing here and there, and will they find out? Look out! What was I doing? I was feeding my belief. But what was that turning into? That was turning into fear.
Yeah.
What if that ever happened to you? Did you see what happened? Can you imagine? All of a sudden now, what I've fed on via my eyes or via what I was reading is now starting to come out of my mouth. And guess what? I'm starting to develop a belief in the negative, in the fear. So I encourage you to that's why we say you spend time in the Word, because whatever you focus on, whatever you spend time in is what you're going to eventually believe, and it's going to come out of your mouth and you're going to get exactly what you say.
Yes.
And honestly, if you spent your time looking at all the media and the news and all the drama that's happening around, especially with robberies and things that are happening, we would all think we better go out and buy some guns. Got to protect ourselves. Baseball bats are on sale. Did you see that? People going out and buying baseball bats. Well, what's that based out of?
Fear.
I'm fearful that something could happen to me. Yet the Word says the angels of the Lord encamp around about those who fear Him.
Amen.
What's going to happen to you? You've got angels, you've got spiritual forces which are high above natural forces.
Yeah.
So we don't need to walk in fear. We don't need to put the extra alarms on the house. Lock your doors, be wise, but fear of what? So I encourage you, what do you spend your time on? And that was just such good revelation. You're always believing. Let's make sure we're feeding our belief the things that we need, amen? Do you remember, I remember Bill Winston was preaching about it, and he said that Mary received the spiritual seed of the Word of God from the angel. She received it. She spoke about it, and she gave birth in the natural to a child, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Well, you can receive the spiritual word of the Lord about your finances, yeah, about your health, yeah, about your marriage, about any situation you have. Receive them into your heart, speak them out of your mouth, and your faith will birth in the natural what you're believing for.
Yes.
That's how it works. But you're always believing. So let's focus on the good stuff, amen? And we can have it. God gave it to us, amen, to be blessed. So I encourage you, we're always, let's believe that we can, amen? We're going to have our turn off. So if you've got your tithes and offerings in your hand, let's stand and let's have a confession of faith over our offerings. And then we're going to have some faith.
Praise God.
All right. 1, 2, 3. Father God, today I come in your house. Bring my tithe and offering according to your house. Bringing my tithe and offering according to Malachi 3:10.